April, Mother's Day is just around the corner. Do you know what you are doing for your mom this year?
I sure do. This year, I'm gifting her My Life in a Book, which is this very cool service that will allow her to turn her life stories into a beautiful printed book, complete with her own photos of significant moments in her life.
Yes, this is so amazing. And Dress listeners, here is how it works. So once a week, mylifeinabook.com will send your mom a question via email. And these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then your mom can either type her response or she can use their voice to text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
So join us and check out mylifeinabook.com and use the code DRESSED at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use the code DRESSED for 10% off today.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Over 7 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion, a podcast where we explore the who, what, when, of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, April Callahan
and Cassidy Zachary. Dressed listeners, welcome to our very first mini-sode of 2019.
Yes, and it will certainly not be our last because we are now bringing you not one, but two episodes of Dressed each week, and we are going to call it Fashion History Mystery.
Woo! Yeah, we received so many wonderful and fascinating comments and questions from you last season, and we agreed it would just be fun to start addressing them, so here we are.
Yeah. And what better way to start than with a note that we received from our listener, Wally Walker, who suggested that we do a podcast on how to become a fashion historian. So, Cass, perhaps we should both share how we came to be fashion historians, because there isn't really like only one sort of like singular path.
No, there really isn't. And you and I, our stories are both actually quite different. I actually got my costume design degree as an undergrad. First, I thought I wanted to be a fashion designer. Then I discovered costume design, and that was all very exciting. And then I discovered that the only thing that I liked about costume design was studying history, was researching for historical period pieces. And I had no idea that you could become a fashion historian or that you could get a master's degree or a PhD in fashion history until I discovered Valerie Steele's book, The Corset, A Cultural History. And that really kind of changed everything for me. I was in the film industry at the time. I was a costumer in film and TV, and I really wasn't happy with what I was doing. And I just started researching master's programs, and I came across, you would have heard this quite a few times last season, Dress listeners, but Fashion Institute of Technology's Fashion and Museum Studies master's degree.
Yeah. And while our tales are a little bit different, they're also similar in many ways. I did my undergraduate degree in art history, and I actually went and was working as a gallerist in contemporary art foundations and museums for about 8 or 9 years. And then one day, it was a book like you, Cass, that kind of changed everything. Somebody happened to give me a copy of the Kyoto Costume Institute.
Oh, yes.
Catalog. It's this delicious 700-page book that is basically like a catalog resume of their amazing collection that they have in Kyoto. And I, like you, had no clue that you could study fashion from kind of like a material culture perspective. And I was obsessed. I read the 700-page book in 2 days. And immediately after that, I was like you, investigating where can I go to grad school to do this, because it was clear to me in an instant that this is what I wanted to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. When I kind of came across Valerie's book, it was kind of just like a light bulb went off. It was like, I can study fashion and dress for a living. Okay, let's find out more immediately. And I actually think it's really great that you got an art history undergrad degree, because that's something I have to say I regret. Looking back now, I really wish I had done art history, because it really does provide such a wonderful foundation as an historian later, though it absolutely isn't necessary. I think a lot of people can do a lot of different undergrad degrees and still kind of segue into fashion history masters.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Do we want to talk about the program at FIT a little bit? And then I think maybe we should also mention some other programs, because ours is not the only one, far from being the only one. There are many, many wonderful programs, not only in the United States, but also abroad.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. April and I actually, we did not go to FIT together. We were a couple of years apart, but the program is pretty much the same, right? It's a two-year course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first year you kind of get basics, and it's like conservation and curatorial. So you really get this really well-rounded education there, which collections management, conservation, and curatorial skills. And then for your second year, you decide which kind of track you want to take.
Mm-hmm. And when we say conservation, we're talking like serious science here.
Yeah.
Like you're in lab classes. Yeah. Like I can look at silk under the microscope and tell you whether it's synthetic or whether it's real silk, whether something is a natural fiber or whether it's an animal hair, as can Cass.
Yeah, absolutely. We learned how to treat and protect materials, how to get stains out of historic garments without harming them. Spent a lot of time in the conservation lab. FIT and a lot of other programs too have study collections. So they have historical pieces in their collection that you as students get to have hands-on experience with, which is really vital and really necessary to your education. I mean, April and I, you've heard it before, we really can't say enough about this program. It was so wonderful.
I basically didn't want it to end.
Yeah, I would actually redo it again and again if I could. And then at the end of it, you team up with your entire class and you put on an exhibition.
Yeah, at the museum at FIT. So you walk out of the program actually having participated in a professional museum exhibition, which is something that a lot of the other programs simply don't have, or a lot of the other programs simply don't have access to the museum collections like we do on site. So it's really, really kind of super special. But let's mention some of the other programs. Cass, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I know when I was looking at schools, I only applied to two. I applied at FIT, which is a public school in New York. And then I also applied and looked into going to NYU because they have an MA in costume studies. Does Nancy Deal still run that program?
She does. And Nancy Deal is fabulous. She is the head of that program. And she was actually one of my professors at FIT.
Mine
because
too.
At that time she was kind of straddling both sides of the fence, but she's really fabulous.
Yeah, she really is. And you just published in a book together, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that book called?
It's called The Hidden History of American Fashion, 20th Century Women Designers. So basically it's an anthology. So different chapters were written by different scholars, and we really talk about these women who were super important in the American fashion industry in the past, but have now kind of fallen into obscurity. So we're trying to shine a light on their importance.
Yeah, and didn't you write on Tina Leeser, who was your dun-dun-dun-dun thesis from FIT?
Yeah. So at some point, we'll do an episode on Tina Leeser.
Yes, absolutely. So there's NYU, and then also there's Parsons, which has a Master of Arts in Fashion Studies program, and that also is in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Parsons is a little bit more theory-based than some of the other programs, so if that's something that you're looking for, check them out.
That's true. And when we say theory, maybe we should specify maybe the difference?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that FIT is more like professional practice-based with like hands-on. Mm-hmm. And the Parsons program is a little bit more theory, scholarly, academic. And NYU is maybe like slightly a blend between the two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's not only programs in New York City.
There's plenty others abroad. We should probably mention Rebecca Arnold's program at the Courtauld in London, where she teaches in the history of dress program. And she's actually been a guest on Dress on season one.
Yes, absolutely. On American fashion history.
Yes. Yeah. But despite the fact that she's a British fashion historian, we share a love of American fashion history.
So school will, of course, provide you with the foundational skills and methodologies to conduct research. I know that that really was helpful with me a lot in just learning how to research, but it really is not the only option. So if you can't go to school or you don't have the means to go to school, you do have different ways of exploring fashion history in a really serious way. There's a lot of different type of independent scholars and researchers out there making their own way. You know, a lot of times people think of academia as being related to scholarship. I am not in academia. April is. So it just really kind of depends on who you are and how you want to make your own path.
Yeah. And also, too, I want to add, I think there are like plenty of vintage dealers out there.
Oh, yes.
Who have like really deep, serious knowledge of the subject matter as well. So, you know, dealing with the garments themselves and maybe becoming a dealer is a completely other like career path as well.
Yeah. And with places like Etsy, you really can kind of start small and mm-hmm. see where you get and how far you get. But so we just really encourage you to find a subject maybe to start with that interests you and begin exploring it. I know from my childhood, one of the things my sister and I really always loved was 18th century Marie Antoinette. It's kind of a popular place to start, but you know, you spend all this time reading. There's so many memoirs. And another thing that's important in research is, you know, doing as much primary source material research. So reading memoirs of women and men from the 18th century, people who are actually there and can actually speak to it, you know, with the idea that not everything's true. And, you know, those are different times and places, but that's really a solid foundation where to start.
Yeah. And just in terms of like what's available online now, which has been digitized and what's for free, like on HathiTrust or like some of these other like conglomerate sites that are digitizing literary works that are in the public domain. Like just off the top of my head, I know that you can download for free as a PDF, Monsieur Leonard Ortiz's autobiography, who was Marie Antoinette's hairstylist. You can also download Madame Campan's, who was one of her ladies-in-waiting's autobiography.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of information that is available for free on the internet.
Yeah, All of Life magazine is keyword searchable on Google. Google Books is a wonderful place to start. There's also the internetarchives.com or I think .org, I'm not entirely sure, but they have just wonderful, wonderful resources, all digitized and keyword searchable. So it's really at your fingertips. Scholars before us were not, they really put in the real work, going page by page, word by word, looking for things that you and I can now just search for.
Well, no. Now I can do that. But when I was in grad school, I made a joke about this on Dress before. That was not true. I was still that many years ahead of you, where if we wanted to look at Vogue and try to find all the designers' work, we had to sit there and look at every single issue.
No, that's right. That's true.
Every single page.
They were actually just archiving Vogue when I was in grad school, because a lot of FIT students were working in the archives doing that. So
yeah,
I do remember looking at microfiche and...
Oh, yeah. Lots of microfiche. Which is not a pleasurable activity, let me reassure you.
And something actually else that I highly encourage people to do is to visit the archives in your own communities. I'm working on, right now I'm working on the project on discovering the fashion history of the town that I grew up in. It's called Corrales. There's a historical society, and they have so many wonderful photographs and letters and so many wonderful pieces of history from people in that community in that archive. And you can make an appointment and go and learn about it.
Yep. And I have to, you know, just say hell to the yeah to that, because actually that's what I do every day. I'm on the other side of that. I'm the person in the archive helping the people find things that's going to help them with their research.
Yeah.
So we hope, Wally, that this addresses your question. Cass, do you have any other recent fashion history news that you think we should mention before we sign off?
Well, we are finishing up, or last week was Haute Couture Week.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention or up to date on fashion, I'm not going to lie. But I always kind of tune in or keep my eyes open for what's happening during Haute Couture Week, because that's really a time when, you know, it's a select few fashion houses that can still really patronize and support all the craftsmen and women that make up the haute couture industries in France. And it's really just a showcase for their artistry. And it's always so fascinating and wonderful to see.
Yeah, I usually wait till the end of the week and then I binge all of the shows at once.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's always really fun.
So two of my favorite shows we'll talk about real quickly. I really love Valentino.
Yes.
Pier Paolo finally got the let's not just cast white models memo. It's kind of been circulating and in the, you know, out there for
apparently
people to pick up on.
It was in the lost letter department.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Dead letter department. That's what it's called.
But he had a stunning show and it was closed by Naomi Campbell. And it was the first time, I guess, that she had appeared in a Valentino show for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
So, and that was stunning and spectacular. Also, Iris van Herpen.
Be Still My Beating Heart is all I have to say.
Yeah, it's called Shift Souls. And it was the most beautiful, I have to say, the most beautiful collection I've seen in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, she's like beyond. She's beyond the realm of just being a fashion designer. I mean,
absolutely.
If there's anybody that's out there who is really literally spanning that realm of art and fashion, it's her. And a lot of times she's doing so vis-a-vis the way of technology, which is fascinating. Like, she's using all these completely insane, like, computer-generated assisted techniques, using plastics, manipulating fabrics, like... Please just go on Vogue Runway and watch this show if you just want to put a smile on your face and give yourself a happy day.
Absolutely. And this actual collection was based on early examples of celestial map making.
Ugh.
So we're talking about those maps that have like mythological and mythical beings like mermaids drawn on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the most wonderful, magical collection. So look it up immediately.
And you know who was there? Our friend Emma McClendon, who was a guest on season one. She was one of our very first guests, actually. And we talked about her, about the body, and her episode was called Fashion and Physique. We got a lot of comments from you guys on that. So Emma was at the show, and she's actually going to join us again on season two to talk about the history of denim.
Fabulous. Well, this was fun, April. I love chatting with you about fashion history mysteries.
Fashion History Mystery, episode one.
Thank you so much, dress listeners. We will see you on Tuesday.
Catch you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.